Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Our regular guest, Marion Jacobs, psychosocial therapist from the Netherlands, will not be able to make it with us today, so we will use this time, and I will shorten it because I, too, have a lot of things that I have to do today. But please feel free to call in, share your concerns, issues, feedback, whatever else you'd like to discuss. Today's show will be a half hour, 30 minutes, so feel free to call in. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is a lot of things that are going on, really, around the country. I wanted to share, basically, some of the things that are going on in our country itself. A lot of people are not aware of the things that are going on, but right now there is so much controversy and conflict worldwide. And I'm sure for those of you who are Bible readers or interested in theology are probably seeing all these signs that were mentioned so many times in the Bible about the final days. We have Russia, we have China, we have the United States, we have North Korea, we have all these different countries at war, at least at conflict with one another. We also know that in this day and age, there's a lot of nuclear weapons out there. So this is a concern that we really need to stay in prayer on. But one of the things I wanted to also mention is what goes on in the penal system. Right now, there's a lot of negotiating going on, a lot of coalitions working on different issues within the penal system. Solitary confinement, as Miriam Jacobs will say when she comes on next Wednesday, solitary confinement, restrictive housing, these are issues that are very, very serious. This is damaging effects on the psyche. We have to realize psychological damage is very serious. However, we have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses and addictions, in addition to this virus that we've been listening to day in and day out every single second of the day, which is the pandemic. But mental illnesses and addictions are something we really need to focus on, because many institutions have been closed down throughout the country in the past numerous years, and people that are out there in the streets or in their homes, the homes of others, wherever they may be, when they do something wrong are being thrown into prisons rather than long-term residential treatment facilities. We have to look at the damaging effects being done to them in these prisons. They have their contracted agencies or providers that deal with medical and psychological issues. However, once they become contracted with the Department of Corrections nationwide, they become employees of the Department of Corrections. They follow their orders, not their own educated guesses or decisions. When someone goes to school for medical, they should know what they're doing when they're dealing with medical or psychological clients. They should know, and a lot of them do. But these individuals that are incarcerated are constantly talking about the lack of treatment they're getting or the lack of no treatment they're getting. We have people that are suffering medically and psychologically, and the treatment they're getting is insufficient. They're getting treatment that is unnecessary. Some of them are getting permanent damage done to them. Some of them are still lacking psychological treatment. Some of them medical treatment. Then we have these individuals incarcerated who are trying to take higher educational correspondence courses, who are trying to take work programs, who are trying to get any rehabilitation they can. People look at them as being lazy and non-motivated because they're not participating or they're not being seen doing anything productive. But I encourage all of you to do your research. Some of you maybe need to contact these individuals who are incarcerated because our legislative members are not doing so. Our legislative members are doing a lot of talk and negotiating with the very people who are lying to them. And that is the Department of Corrections commissioners, officials, COs. And I always say, I'm not judging all correctional officers because a lot of correctional officers out there in the country are good. However, because they're not exposing those who are not good, they're considered just as bad. People need to focus on getting these individuals who see the wrongdoing going on behind those prison walls. They need to focus on those who are concerned but are too afraid to speak. They talk about funding and defunding the Department of Corrections, and a lot of negotiating is going on around that. But what they need to do is defund the unions of these correctional facilities, because the unions are so powerful that every time a correction officer, a prison official, commissioner, whomever, is caught doing something wrong, the union steps in to defend them and protect them. So these are criminals getting away with criminal acts because they have a powerful union. And their union is funded by the department employees. They pay their dues. I worked for the state years ago. I remember you have to pay your dues. But the thing is, too many people who made mistakes, either via their psychological, at the time, their psychological status or their medical or mental health, but they made their mistakes and they got sentenced to prison. In today's day and age, people don't get sentenced for 5 or 10 years. They get sentenced to life or life without, or 25 to life, which is something that Ms. Jacobs talks about all the time. Not only Marion Jacobs, but also others who have been on the show that have been interviewed. We have spoken to former correction officers. We have interviewed them who talk about the injustices. Veteran correctional officers, lieutenants, life coach therapists, even a lawyer who was wrongfully convicted and sentenced to prison at the age of 16 or 17, spent all those years in prison to finally be exonerated. He came out, Jeffrey Deskovitz. He got his master's degree in criminal justice, and he's a lawyer now. We have legislative members in this country who have not a clue what's going on. And a lot of those advocates that they're working with or looking up to don't have a clue what's going on. I've been doing research for years. I've been doing social work for years. It's like children and families being divided from their homes because social workers were never taught about cultures. They were never taught about cultures, and they came out of college with prominent backgrounds, not married, no children, no experience, and they go into these homes. And if the people in these homes, these single parents or these parents, are not doing things exactly the way they want right away, they're ready to go to their supervisors and do a care and protection and have the children removed from the homes. And how many children have been violated, beaten, abused, murdered in these foster homes? Not that all foster homes are bad, because I dealt with some good foster homes with the chins, with the adolescents I dealt with, whose parents didn't want them in the house or whatever. But we need to look at that not with just families and children, not with just adolescents, but we need to look at that with those incarcerated who have been abused, who have been violated, who have been denied educational courses, who have been deprived of any kind of work programs, who have been kept in solitary confinement, and who have been kept on restrictive blocks. And you cry out to these politicians, these legislative members, and none of them seem to respond, even though they have great concern. Advocates as well, in these coalitions that are in their little cliques. All you see is emails going back and forth between them, but you don't see any positive things being done. I'm not insecure, so I don't need to be in cliques. I'm not insecure, so I don't need to be passing emails back and forth unless they mean something. And many of you know, even those on Facebook, many of you know that my research entails valuable resources that many of you have even thanked me for sending. And I don't need thanks, because it's all coming from our mighty, our Most High. He sees your needs and he's there to help you. But you need to help yourself as well. But getting back to our legislative members, our leaders of this country, If they were doing something that was successful, other countries would be following suit. They would not be coming on my show to talk about the comparisons between the successes in their country, in their penal system, compared to mass incarceration in the United States of America. They would not be talking about the programs that are working in their countries compared to the programs that are not working in this country. They would not be talking about treating the prisoners in their country as humane, while in this country they only have them by numbers. The abuses that go on in America are seen all over the world, and yet our intelligent people leading this country, making up the laws, sit back and think that they know it all, but yet I haven't seen in all these years, I haven't seen anything successful in our penal system. And if any of you have, please call in and let us know. If a family member is an advocate and they're fighting for others as well as their own, they should be accepting or having people that want to work with them do so. You have people from all these other countries and all these other states coming to help the American prisoners in this country. Franz Kurz from Germany is advocating for the wrongfully convicted in this country. Mariam Jacobs talking about the injustices going on in this country. She's been in the American prison. She's been in the prisons in Germany as well as France. Advocating for people in America when the people in America turn their backs on them. I've had people on this show, as I said, correction officers, former lieutenants in the prison system, former prisoners who were wrongfully convicted, prisoners who were badly affected by the penal system, beaten, tormented, tortured, scalded. What kind of people are we living amongst in the United States of America who do a lot of talking, who stay in their cliques, who help one another, but yet when others are crying out for help, it's a different story. A letter went out to over 35 or 39 individuals, lawyers, politicians, advocates, family members, went out to all of them because someone in the prison was suffering. Three people called to find out what was going on. Three people. None of them legislative members. None of them lawyers. And these lawyers that are getting all this funding, working for the Commonwealth, but no one knows it. One's called Mass Correctional Legal. How does that happen? Mass Correctional Legal Services. I mean, Mass Correction, that would be somebody that's working for the Correction Department. And yet they're supposed to be, the name has been changed, they're supposed to be helping prisoners. But then again, they're making all these excuses why they can't. They don't have enough funding. They don't have enough manpower, no resources. ACLU, the same thing. ACLU has denied so many people of the help. And I say, when I say ACLU, I mean ACLU all over the country. ACLU in Pennsylvania, ACLU in Massachusetts. Who are they helping? What I cannot understand is why there's no oversight with any of these facilities, with any of these organizations, with any of these so-called legal services systems. Why isn't there oversight? Now, finally, though, I have to give somebody credit because finally they're talking about putting in body cameras on staff at certain prisons in Massachusetts. It's about time, don't you think? Body cameras need to be everywhere. In the streets, they need to be in the facilities, they need to be in everywhere. I wouldn't mind having a body camera. I think we should all have one because we have so many lying, deceptive, corrupt people in this country. And that's the downfall of many of our prisoners, lying, deceptive people in this country who have caused God's children to stumble. Not that they're all of God, because we know we're wrestling against not flesh and blood, but the powers and principalities of darkness, rulers in high places in this world. And who are the rulers in high places in the world? The government. So, again, we need to look at the changes that need to be made in the United States of America. We need to start focusing on who we can trust, because we cannot trust everyone. There's a lot of lawyers we cannot trust. There's a lot of government officials that we cannot trust. There's a lot of people who have caused people to stumble that cannot be trusted. I remember one time asking someone who was lying and deceiving and trying to take advantage of someone. And I said, please let me know now so I can work with that person. So I can work with that person was vulnerable, naive. Let me know if you are doing this. And that person said, oh, no, I would never do that. When in fact, that person was doing exactly what I had asked her about. And because she lied, she caused two people to fall. One to life in prison and one to death. Unfortunately, that's the society we live in. People will lie and lie and lie until they cause somebody to stumble, and then all of a sudden, who's looking like the bad guy when the one that was lying and deceptive is still out there? These people that have violated children, still out there, while the children they violated are in prison. One DA, district attorney, was notified of a pedophile of all these children. But because the person that had been put in prison was the one that was one of the kids that were violated, the district attorney did nothing to check into the pedophile, who is still, by the way, out there. Whether he's still doing it or not, I don't know, because he's having a lot of medical problems himself, from what I understand. People talk about prisoners, they stereotype. What they don't talk about is the reasons behind their incarceration. Prisoners, as I say all the time, they should not be stereotyped, because many are victims who turned perpetrators, who turned offenders, who turned the other way, who stumbled. There are people incarcerated who should not even be incarcerated. You have the wrongfully convicted. You have the first-time offenders. You have the mentally ill that should be in hospitals, not prisons. You have those who are addicted who should be in residential substance abuse treatment facilities, not in prison. And if you look deep inside the souls of the addicted, you're going to find out a lot of them became addicted because they too were traumatized somewhere along the line and never received the support or treatment. Look at these doctors, these medical providers that just dish out all the medication. I've had prisoners tell me, as down or depressed as they may have been, that they will not take medication because they see other prisoners who have been put on medication walking around like zombies, being very vulnerable to others, whether they be other prisoners or staff. People are afraid. They're afraid to get treatment. They're afraid to talk to people, others, about whatever it is that's bothering them. Many become depressed, and sometimes depression can lead to suicidal ideations, and sometimes those suicidal thoughts can turn to homicide. We don't know, but we do know one thing. While the American Psychological Association and American Psychiatric Association are up there getting all this money for research when we already know the problem, they should be getting out there and being verbal about these issues. You don't hear anything from them. American Psychiatric Association, American Psychological Association. Nothing. They should be out here advocating for these prisoners that are suffering from mental illnesses, from substance abuse. They should be out here not only advocating for them, but they should be coming out with some kind of proposal to allow them into the prison to work with some of these people. Or they should be putting petitions out there to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities. And by the way, everyone, there's a petition on change.org to replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities. Please find it. Please sign it. I encourage everybody to do so, because it's been almost a year now and there's been like 607 signatures when we have 2.3 million people incarcerated with their families crying out because they're being abused. If the families are that concerned, sign the petition so your loved one can be in a place where he's being or she's being treated. And not treated inhumanely, but treated medically and psychologically. It's pathetic, not only with the legislative members, not only with the American Psychiatric and Psychological Association, not only with the American Bar Association, because I will say one thing. There have been lawyers who have taken advantage of people who are trying to get help for their loved ones, that have taken money, that have gone to see these people in prison one time, claiming to go in to help them, taking thousands of dollars from the family members or others who are trying to help. And when you call the American Bar Association, they defend their lawyers. Their lawyers get away with a lot because the American Bar Association, Massachusetts Bar Association, New York Bar Association, or any of the others, they don't look at their lawyers as being corrupt, although I'm sure they know it, because I'm sure there's more than one or two or three or four or five families that have contacted them about being deceived and their money's being taken. And I love it when I interview people from other countries who talk about the United States being solely focused on hate, solely focused on racism, solely focused on vengeance and retaliation. These are people from other countries across the pond, thousands and thousands of miles away, and they know where we have people in politics and authority just minutes or miles away from it all happening before their very eyes. So in a way, I'm glad that Ms. Jacobs could not be on today, and I'm going to surely make sure she listens to this. I want to thank her, and I want to thank Franz Kurz. I want to thank Sherry Sweeney, too. Sherry Sweeney, she's an advocate. She was an advocate nationwide, practically globally, because Sherry, her own husband, a former law enforcement, exposed his peers years ago, and he got set up. And that's what started Sherry on the road to activism. And Sherry Sweeney helped me and helped so many others years ago when our own loved ones were being penalized, persecuted, afflicted. People like Sherry Sweeney is and Franz Kurz, Miriam Jacobs. I mean, these people are people that I know from a distance who have helped people right here in Massachusetts, who have helped people in every state. They have helped people in every state. I've interviewed wrongfully convicted men from Ohio that Franz Kurz is advocating for. I've interviewed two female incarcerated Christians in Missouri who met Madeline Colburn, chaplain now, Reverend, and advocate for years, had brought on the show. This Thursday, tomorrow, I will be interviewing Reginald Clemens, wrongfully convicted, went in as a youth, has been in for years. I want everyone to know that you can do a lot of talking. You can do a lot of talking amongst yourselves. You can do a lot of complaining. But unless you're doing something, whether it be just to pick up a phone and call a legislative member, whether it be to go on the internet and type in resources, free resources for the incarcerated men or women in whatever state you're in, transitional housing for whatever state you're in for prisoners, pro bono lawyers, pro bono civil rights lawyers in whatever state you're in, pro bono criminal lawyers in whatever state you're in, pro bono appellate lawyers in whatever state you're in. Prisoner advocates in whatever state you're in. A lot of you I see on Facebook have not a clue about who to contact because it's never been a problem in the past. When this first happened, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have people going out there researching and sending me all these links to find help with. I do it because I want everyone to know what I went through and what you're going through. I understand. I relate. So when I can send these resources, don't ask me, do they work? Go on their websites. Click on the links. Go on their website. See if they work. Look for reviews. Ask others. I send resources out so people will get familiar with the types of resources available to them or their loved ones. But it's up to them to try to make the calls to see if they work. And if they work, share them with other people. When you come across lawyers who are lying and deceiving, taking your money, send it to me because we have shows to talk about the corrupt lawyers. We have shows to talk about all these people out there who claim to do something they don't do. So stop looking at it. If you've been messed up by lawyers or your loved one has, send it to me. I can be found on New Vision Organization. Or you can call into the radio show and you can just talk about it. If you need help for your loved one, you don't have to mention their real name. Just mention the fact that you need help. And then a separate email, a separate call, discreetly get it out there and we can try to do something with it. But if everybody holds back on what they, either because of their pride, and I'll tell you, there are people with pride, even legislative members. I know a legislative member who knows of someone's son. Not only did they go to school together, they were good friends. They lived right next door. They were, one of them, the one that's incarcerated, was in his wedding. But this person has so much pride or is too much of a coward to speak out about the so-called friend. And yet when that so-called friend left the country after committing an offense, he said, why didn't he come to me? Well, I hope he knows now why he didn't come to you. And I wouldn't have gone to him either, because that's a coward. That's a coward, and that's one that's full of pride. And what does it say in the Bible? In the last days, you're going to find people who are proud and boastful. This person sent me an invitation to join him on LinkedIn when he was running for the position. I often wonder why he sent it. Did he just want me to see, oh, I'm going to be a legislative member now? That's the only reason I can think of, because the coward has not been out there since to do anything positive that I see. But then everyone has their Uncle Tom. But again, I'm going to be closing down because I also have some things to do today. And Marion Jacobs, a psychosocial therapist who is on with us every week, will be back on next Wednesday from 1 o'clock to 1:30, 2 o'clock, I'm sorry. She'll be back on next Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Again, join us tomorrow. We will be on with Reginald Clements from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. Reginald Clements from Missouri, who was wrongfully convicted, and he is going to be on with us tomorrow. Every Tuesday, I leave the studio open. I leave the show open for anyone and everyone that wants to call in and discuss anything. The topics can vary from anything. People in, you can tell your concerns. You can give feedback. You can criticize if you want. I love criticism because that's how we learn. We learn through criticism. And even though a lot of people get upset when they're criticized, they also get wise. And this is where wisdom comes from. So I thank everyone for being on with us, and I look forward to having you all on tomorrow when we listen to Reginald Clemens and Madeline Colburn, and again next Tuesday, of course, every Tuesday, to have you on. Thank you very much, and I look forward once again to having you all on with us. And good luck, good day, and good wisdom. Bye-bye.